This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned. Imagine attending a concert. You've waited for months, and now you finally get to enjoy this festival of music. The venue is packed. The night has been amazing. And where else to let loose with a crowd of people but in Las Vegas, Nevada? Now imagine you're 911, receiving calls from the festival where this has just occurred. This is what it's like within the trenches. Today is October 1st, 2018, or as the amazing dispatchers of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue refer it to as 1 October. It's the one-year anniversary of the tragic shooting in Las Vegas that claimed 58 lives. Much has happened since then, and although we are not closer to the answer for why this person did what he did, we know this. Some people are still picking up the pieces emotionally and mentally. Others have gone on and displayed great courage in sharing their story. Today, instead of hearing multiple IM 911 stories, you will hear about what it was like for the 911 dispatch professionals of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. I hope to have them all on one day to share their story with you. Before we begin, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who lived them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our every day. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story, become the dispatcher who's taken each call, and imagine listening.
What's going on, Sammy? It's coming from upstairs in the Mandalay Bay. Upstairs, Mandalay Bay, halfway up. I see the shots coming from Mandalay Bay, halfway up.
Control 361, I see. We have multiple 458 break. Give me a surge.
We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the whereabouts.
Control Canine 4, send me the active shooter on another control center, please.
Control, this is CP. Just advising there are people down on stage left.
That is an open line with a female saying there's a shooting.
Control, that is correct. Shots fired from Mandalay Bay. There's many people down stage left. Just be advised.
CP, I need eyes. Somebody in the CP, can you tell me where it is coming from?
We're heading from Mandalay Bay.
Somewhere at Mandalay Bay. It's at the intersection. It almost sounds like it's that close.
It sounded like an elevated position that they had.
We have multiple casualties. GSWs at the medical tent. Multiple casualties.
159 SC, we have a rifle deployed. We're in front of Mandalay Bay. We're trying to see where the shots are coming from. If anyone can advise if they're coming from Mandalay.
It sounds like it's either Mandalay or Luxor. We cannot tell.
159 is coming from like the 50 or 60th floor. North Oh, the Mandalay Bay is coming out a window. I'm inside the Mandalay Bay on the 31st floor. I can hear the automatic fire coming from one floor ahead, one floor above us.
Control, I got one down, gunshot wounds to the leg, Reno and Giles in the intersection. I also have another female, same traffic, she's been shot, looks like in the mouth. Reno, Giles.
We got about 40 to 50 people, we're pinned against this wall.
Right.
We're taking gunfire. It's going right over our heads. There's debris coming over our heads.
There's 067 SC. We have multiple victims shot fired right at the medical tent. We got one shot in the head.
Hey, officers, please stay calm. Just relax. We're trying to get this set up. Okay, just stay calm.
Patrol, see if we can have contact Mandalay Bay, have him shut down their elevator so he can't get mobile, and we can take the stairs and block all the stair exits.
Control, 167, come easy. Please advise all units to have their vehicles locked. People are going into it trying to grab shotguns.
All units, make sure your vehicles are locked. Citizens are trying to grab shotguns.
There were many calls that came into Metro that night, and many more that flooded into the Combined Communications Center, where Las Vegas Fire and Rescue is located. You've heard a few calls from concert attendees and those out on the road, but this is the story from Dispatch. It's based off a talk they gave at the 2018 Navigator Conference held in Las Vegas. I want you to get a feel for what they dealt with, from the area that they cover to the units they dispatched for. Each dispatcher had their own story to tell, and although not all of them are present on this episode, you will get a glimpse into their feelings during this time. In the end, you will hear from one of them. For some time, they've not been able to share their story publicly. But now that the case has been closed, they are slowly able to let us in and experience the night with them. The Combined Communications Center covers about 527 square miles. They dispatch for 72 fire stations, 4 fire districts, and the calls that they take a day are 1,900 plus. 1,900 plus calls a day. And at any given time, there are 2 to 6 call takers answering those calls. Now we're looking at the night of 1 October. And from what was said, there were echo calls. So while this incident is going on, there are calls going on all over the place in Las Vegas. So there were other calls for active shooters. And again, echo calls. They were coming from New York, New York, MGM, the Tropicana, Mandalay Bay, and McCarran Airport. There were also calls for shots fired at the Bellagio in the MGM and a fire call at Mandalay Bay. There was also the possibility of some sort of explosive device at the Luxor and a suspicious package just east of the festival where all of this was going on. So you can just imagine the chaos or the thoughts that were going through everyone's mind as not only this is going on, but all of these echo calls are happening as well. The incident statistics. Now, this incident lasted 9 hours and 27 minutes. But there were 15 hours of radio traffic. For suppression personnel, there were 161 valley-wide fire department personnel, 15 engines, 3 truck companies, 26 rescues, 7 battalion chiefs, 2 EMS supervisors, 1 mass casualty incident unit, 1 air resource and rehab unit, and then 11 chief officers. For the Combined Communications Center, well, this call type, of course, was considered a mass casualty incident, level number 2. And for that level, that means that there's between 50 to 100 patients for this incident. They were running 8 radio channels. There were 4 dispatchers, as well as 5 call takers and 2 that self-deployed to assist everyone there. And in the middle of all of that was 1 supervisor, keeping it all together for everyone there during this horrific time. The total number of calls received by the center was 589. The total number of emergency calls received were 412. Now, at any given time during this incident, there were 60 to 70 incident-related calls holding at any given time. So, just to kind of put this into perspective, while this is going on, life doesn't stop. 911 doesn't stop. So there were 60 to 70 incident-related calls as well, on top of all of this that was going on, plus whatever else was going on in the world coming in that did not have to do with the incident. The total number of incoming and outgoing calls placed were 1,001. And remember that the average calls that the center takes a day are just over 1,900. So as I said earlier, each dispatcher that worked that night had their own story. And they also had different words of their own to describe the night, but especially how they were feeling during this time. And a lot of the dispatchers that were working that night were actually newer. They had 2 years of experience or under, and they were amazing. From the talks that I've been in and what I've heard, they jumped in and they did what they had to do. And they did an excellent, excellent job. The first, fire communication specialist, Aubrey. 2 years of experience. That night, she worked as call taker. She had an open line with Metro, and she also worked with notifications for the incident. Her words of the night? Frustration. Worn. Helpless. Shocked. Nervous. And disbelief. Next is Latasha. Also fire communication specialist, but also a preceptor trainer. 2 years experience. She was a dispatcher on radios. The channels that she worked were City of Las Vegas, Battalion 4. This covers 10 fire stations, 15 fire apparatus. City of North Las Vegas, Battalion 5 and 15. 20 fire stations, 20 fire apparatus. She also worked logistics and notifications. Her words of the night? Restlessness. Helpless. Anguish. Disbelief, nervous, and nausea. Amy, fire communication specialist, preceptor trainer. Now, Amy has 15 years experience. She was also working radios, covering City of Las Vegas, and she worked logistics, notifications, and call taking. Her words of the night, confused. Helpless and sad. Fire communication specialist, Monet. 2 years experience. She was a call taker that night and worked with notifications. Her words? Angry, helpless, sad, shocked, and frustrated. Fire communication specialist, Joshua. He has 6 years experience. He worked as a call taker. He was working notifications. In 2208 hours is a number that, from what he says, will stick with him for the rest of his life. Now, I could give you a portion of his story, but it wouldn't do it justice, and I wouldn't feel right doing it. So I hope to have him on. Every one of their stories has had an impact on me. They're powerful. But in Josh's story, I feel his pain, because the words of the night for him were pride, angry, confused, anxious, and determined. But the word, the last word that really sticks out, is guilt. And the reason for the guilt is because he was already at the end of his shift. He was being relieved, but he didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay there with his family to continue working this. He didn't want to leave them. But his supervisor, Letha, said to him, "Baby, go home. And I know this because I've been in presentations where they've talked about this, and I can see and feel his pain. I could feel how he was torn, how he did not want to leave. But once he left, he just wanted to get home and wanted to be with his family. I got a chance to speak with him at the Kentucky conference a few weeks ago, and hearing that story face to face was something else. But thank you for sharing it. Fire communication specialist, Jacqueline. 12 years experience. Call taker, corroborator, runner, notifications, and radio shadow. Her words of the night, empathy, concern, and affectionate. Now, there were dispatchers, like I said, that ended up self-deploying. They came in to assist. And once they got in, literally, welcome to hell. Darren, fire communication specialist, 6 years experience, call taker. His words of the night, helpless, worried, not knowing if anyone he knew was at the concert or injured. He felt angry. He was unable to wrap his head around the fact that someone could do such a thing, and sad. The number of victims continued to rise 4 hours after the shots ended. Matt, fire communication specialist, 13 years experience. He was a call taker position that night, working logistics and notifications. His words, frustrated, determined, and sad. And finally, Letha, fire communication supervisor. 18 years experience, working notifications, logistics, and a delegate. Her words of the night, denial, trust, defensive, vulnerable, and patient. I can only imagine the amount of patience that was needed that night going through such a horrific incident. Others that worked that night and names that I've already mentioned, Kim, Ramonda, Carolyn, Nellie, Aubrey, Amy, Jacqueline, Latasha, Matt, Daniel, Anthony, Darren, Monet, Josh, Jason, and David. The agencies involved, Metrocom, Henderson PD and FD, North Las Vegas PD, Nevada Highway Patrol, UNLV PD, McCarran Airport Control, AMR Medic West, and Community Guardian. And finally, the Sacramento Regional Fire Communications. These are the people who came in to assist there for Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. They were in Las Vegas and working on the floor within 48 hours. This gave those affected a chance to go home and be with loved ones. They were able to provide emotional support and morale boost. And they all thank you from the bottom of their hearts. In the end, there were 851 injuries, 422 from gunfire, and 58 fatalities. Now, in the session that they give and have given, what they do towards the end is they give 58 seconds of silence for those lost in this tragic incident. And we will do so now. this was just a glimpse into what happened that night through the eyes and feelings of those at Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. Again, I hope one day to be able to get them all on to share their story together, because it's a powerful one. It's one that you will not believe. Now, there are many stories out there involving this incident. And again, like I said, they've not been able to be brought out publicly. But now that the case is closed, they are slowly being revealed. And back at the 2018 APCO conference when I was there, I was given a slip of paper by someone. And she said, "This is my story." She dealt with this as well, a surrounding agency. And this is it. It was the morning immediately after 1 October. You called in, and I didn't get to finish my phone greeting before you started screaming. You screamed how it was all my fault. It was my fault your precious baby died. How I should be dead and not your daughter. You screamed how I was just as much a murderer as the man who pulled the trigger. You screamed at me for 10 minutes, and I didn't stop you. After you hung up, I didn't cry. But I realized I never learned your name or your daughter's name. I didn't cry until I got home. And I cry every time I look at the faces of the 58 people who died. And I wonder, which one was your daughter? I am 911. One day I'll be able to tell, or at least help tell, the stories of the dispatchers from Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. But what I do have is one story. One story from Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. And it's from my good friend Matt. So this is his account, his reflection on the incident, what happened afterwards, and what's going on presently. But he also shares his personal I Am 911 story.
1 year. 1 year. 1 year has passed since the 1 October tragedy struck our Las Vegas community. 1 year since our lives, my life, has taken a turn I never expected. Like most cases, it feels like time has flown since then, but somehow it feels so far away. As I look back at the events of that evening, as I reflect on the lives lost, the lives forever injured, and the paramount feeling of sadness that will forever surround this date, I remain hyper-focused on trying to bring some positivity to a negative situation. My colleagues and I have tried to ensure that those who might face a similar situation to what we encountered are encouraged with the knowledge that even though you might be going through a dark time, there will be light at the end of the tunnel. I attribute a lot of that effort and our positivity to the outpouring of love and support we received from the Thin Gold Line community that stretches from coast to coast. In the days and weeks, even months, that followed 1 October, cards, letters, and packages came into our center with messages of love and encouragement. Attaboys and jobs well done were scribbled in every corner, each person just trying to show their support. It was a feeling that I, still to this day, have a hard time describing. To know that a stranger from a completely different state, locale, or even situation knows what we're going through because we're part of this 911 community, it is truly something amazing. About a month and a half after 1 October, I was asked to speak at the Illinois Public Safety Telecommunicators Association conference regarding my experience that evening. At that conference, I met Ricardo. We talked for a bit, we exchanged contact info, and have remained in contact since. I had already been familiar with what he was doing with the podcast and the I Am 911 movement, but it was only then that I started to truly see its impact. See, you can have absolutely brilliant policies and procedures that deal with a whole gamut of different situations, whether it be active shooters, mass casualties, natural disasters, to name a few. But if you do not have something in place to deal with the aftermath of those incidents, the emotional aftermath, the rest of it might as well be mute. It also does not take an incident as large as the one we experienced to have a significant lasting impact. I've been in this 911 field for over a decade. I've taken tens of thousands of calls over the years, and only now have I started to realize the impact they can have as time goes by. You have to have a way to deal with that burden. You have to have a way to process through those tragedies and emotions. I grew up in this era of just get back in there, kid. Just rub some dirt on it. That style and approach, it cannot and it should not be how you deal with the mental carnage that is placed upon us call after call after call. While IM911 started as an effort to get public safety telecommunicators recognized and reclassified, it has become an outlet for us to deal with and process through those emotions. An outlet for us to take some of that burden off ourselves and speak about it. During one of our 1 October debriefings, we were given the example of a trash can. Each call we take, each traumatic situation we deal with, it's like a piece of paper being placed into a trash can. After a while, it's undoubtedly going to get full. However, each time you talk about it, each time you deal with it, you remove a piece of paper from that can. The more you talk about it, the more you deal with it, the emptier your can will be. Some of us, myself included, are fortunate enough to have peer support teams and critical incident stress management systems in place and available. This is not true everywhere, though. There are even some places that have it available, but it's sadly not available to telecommunicators. If that's the case where you are, be the person to change it. Push for those teams and systems to be in place. Attend the trainings and seminars so you can be the person people come to when they have those traumatic calls. And lastly, I urge you and everyone in this field to continue to share your stories through IM911. Not only will it help you process through these situations, but someone else might see it, they might read it, and finally understand they are not alone. They too might share the feelings, have had the same experiences, and in turn might be able to help themselves process what they are going through. We must continue to be there for each other. You were running away from the concert. You had made your way to the parking lot of the church just to the east. You called because you came across 2 gunshot victims, both beyond help. I told you just to keep moving because there was nothing we could do, and I had many other calls to get to, but I heard something in your voice. That crack. That crack of someone trying to hold it together, but your control was slipping away. That crack in your voice, it let me know that while you might not be physically injured, you were most definitely mentally or emotionally injured. I talked to you for a few more minutes while you got further away to safety. While I know you will never be counted as one of the many injured, you most definitely were, and I will never, ever forget that crack. I am 911. Vegas Strong. I am Matt Grogan. I am with the Combined Communication Center of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue, and I am with the Denise Amber Lee Foundation.
I want to thank Matt and everyone from Las Vegas Fire and Rescue for their hard work and the courage to go out and share their story. It's all part of the healing process, and by sharing your story, you are helping many. I also want to thank those who worked over at Metro for doing such an amazing job. Listening to the audio is something else. And if you get a chance, look for it. Listen to it. Because the dispatcher who was working on a metro did a phenomenal job. And to the person who came up to me at the 2018 APCO conference and shared their story from that incident, thank you so much for doing so. It has been shared all over, and people are healing from it, believe it or not. So thank you. For those listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's Within the Trenches Podcast. This episode, as well as all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Thank you again, and have a good one.